If you're just joining us for the first time this week, we are in a series called Enough is Enough. And we've been talking about the importance of growing in our ability to be content with what God has given us, to be grateful for what he's given us, and then also to be generous with those things. And in week one, we looked at Matthew chapter 6. And if you're a worrier, I want to encourage you to go back to that our website and check out that message. But the crux of it is this. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, don't worry about your stuff, what you need. And he asked this really important question that struck me. He said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? And the answer is none of us. In fact, when we worry, we just make our lives worse, right? And he says, so stop worrying and look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field and notice how they don't freak out, yet God gives them nests to live in. He gives them food to eat. He clothes the flowers of the field. And he says, he will also clothe you. He will give you food. He will give you shelter. He will take care of you. He'll give you the necessities. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough worries of its own. But if God loves the birds and he loves the flowers, you are much more valuable than they. And then last week we looked at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 at the end of David's life, King David. And generosity welled up inside of him, and he wanted to build a temple for the Lord, and the Lord said, no, that's not for you. You're a man of blood. You're a warrior. I'm not going to allow you to build me the temple, but I will allow your son Solomon to build the temple. And David said, great, that sounds good, and then I'll provide all the building materials for this. And what we learned is that he gave about an estimated $20 billion worth of gold, silver, iron, wood, and precious jewels towards this building project. And one would ask, why? Why would this man who's worked so hard all of his life, he accumulated all these riches, why would he want to give that back? And the reason is this, is because David understood that everything in heaven and on earth belongs to God. And everything that we give back to God, he gave to us in the first place. And so he said, it all belongs to you, so I'm going to give it back. This past week in our growth group, Tori Swenson shared a story with our group about this gentleman who was being robbed, and as he was handing over his wallet, he said, just take it. It all belongs to God anyway. And the thief looks at him like, what? Okay. He walks away with his wallet, but the man's heart was like, okay, I'm good, and maybe that averted him from getting hurt. But what an amazing attitude, right? It all belongs to God anyway. Wouldn't that be amazing if we all went through life with that attitude? Of understanding that my stuff is God's stuff, that it was gifted to me from him, that all my abilities that I have are mine because God gave them to me. Everything I've accomplished is because God allowed me to accomplish it. Everything I am, my true identity, that I'm a son of the Most High God, that I'm a daughter of the Most High God, is because of God's grace through Jesus. It'd be amazing if we remembered that all the time. Our lives would be so much better. Our stress levels would be so much lower. I think we'd be so much more productive and generous to people around us. It'd be awesome. But do we always remember that? No. Very often we forget that everything has been given to us by God. Very often we run through life with the mentality that we love the gifts more than we love the giver. And when that happens, we start to take on this entitlement mentality of thinking that we deserve all these things. Or maybe we become lazy and apathetic or definitely selfish. And it doesn't just hurt us internally and personally and mentally, but it also starts to wreck our relationship with God. And that's what was going on with the ancient Israelites. They'd been given all these gifts from God, and yet they were starting to become complacent. They were taking his provision for granted. And their thank yous began to become empty. And they were just going through the motions. And under the Mosaic law, it was actually commanded that they would give offerings to the Lord, specific thank offerings, whether they were animal sacrifices or grain sacrifices. And they were meant to be regular reminders for the people that, yeah, everything you have is from God. And then God also gave them other offerings called sin offerings as a reminder that their sins could only be paid for by the shedding of blood. And God gave them these offerings because as we human beings are, we tend to forget what we need and we forget where our blessings come from. Now, when it came to the sin offerings, the first sin offering that God commanded them to offer up was called the Passover. And that was actually instituted while they were slaves in Egypt. It was the 10th plague. And God told them to take a one-year-old lamb without blemish or defect, so it didn't have any diseases, no broken bones. They were to slaughter the lamb, eat the meat, and then take the blood of the lamb and paint it on the doorposts of their homes. And the promise was that when the Lord came through the camps, he would pass over those houses and spare the firstborn child. Well, that sacrifice was always a picture of what Jesus Christ would one day do for us. See, Jesus was the Lamb, the true Lamb of God, perfect in all of his ways, never sinned once, lived out the Mosaic law perfectly on our behalf, and his blood was shed on a cross. And the promise is that whoever looks at him will be saved. Their sins will be washed away and God's wrath will pass over them. And see, here's the thing. That promise is ours. That promise is for you. That promise is for me. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can know without a doubt 100% that our sins have been washed away, that they have been covered over, and that God's wrath has passed over us. And that right there is the main message of the scriptures that you and I get to rejoice over, that we get to be thankful for, that we get to allow to course through our veins so that we can live lives full of thanksgiving. The Israelites were bound by the Mosaic law because it pointed ahead to Jesus. But because Jesus fulfilled the Mosaic law, we have been freed to love God without going through the process of offering these animal sacrifices. Instead, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we get to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, as pure and proper true worship. So that means for us that every aspect of our lives, whether it's the things we think, the words we speak, the actions that we commit, are now prompted by God's grace to be able to say thank you to Jesus. So no more animal sacrifices. To be honest with you, I don't think I would have become a pastor if they said I'd have to learn how to butcher lambs all the time. That would not have been my thing. Right? We don't have to do that anymore. Hallelujah. We have been freed from that. But I think if we think about those Old Testament sacrifices, it actually does us a favor. And we can learn from those. And that's what I want to do for the rest of our time today, is I want to think more about those Old Testament sacrifices. And normally when I say sacrifice, does your mind immediately go to the whole burnt offering? Like they bring a huge animal, they put it on an altar and light it up and it's gone. And that's my normal thought process. But that's not the majority of the sacrifices. Most of them were like fellowship offerings. And what it means is that there were three purposes for the offering. Part of it would be burned up completely. Part of the meat would be cooked and then taken to the priests, to the Levites, for their allotment. And then part of the animal would be given back to the family that offered the sacrifice. So instead of visualizing that this sacrifice is completely wasted and gone up in smoke, think about this really fun barbecue praising God for all the good things he does, okay? When you hear sacrifice, think barbecue, because that's ultimately what was going on in many of these sacrifices. Now, I want to talk to you more about the Levites. The Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And do you know where the 12 tribes come from? The 12 sons of Israel. Israel was a real guy. His real name was Jacob. And then he wrestled with God, and that's what Israel means, wrestles with God. You might want to write this stuff down. This is good stuff. So he wrestles with God, and he gets the name Israel. Now that becomes the nation. And so his 12 sons, they have wives, and they have babies, and then they grow into these great nations. They call them tribes. And God brings these tribes out of Egypt into the promised land of Canaan, and God gives them each an allotment of land that they get to use to be able to take care of their animals and to grow crops. But God did not give an allotment of land to the Levites. He said, you guys are in charge of the temple, you're in charge of the spiritual matters, and I want you to work on that full time. So that means you won't have time to take care of animals. That means you won't have time to be in the fields. You get to do this full time. So how do they eat if they don't get to raise their own animals and their own crops? That's where the tithe comes in. So God comes to the other 11 tribes and he says, I want you to give a tithe. And tithe means a tenth. I want you to give 10% of everything you grow, everything you raise to the benefit of the Levites to take care of them and their families. And then God tells the Levites, I want you to take a tenth of the tenth that you just got to be able to bless the high priest, who at that time was Aaron initially, so that they're taken care of. And then in Deuteronomy, we learn that the tithe was also used to help out those who were foreigners in the land, the widows and the orphans. So this was their welfare system as well. So again, when you think of these Old Testament sacrifices, don't assume that this was a bunch of wasted meat and they're just like, you know, killing animals left and right and just throwing away their carcasses. But visualize these fellowship barbecues and the allotment that was given specifically to take care of the priests in the temple and to take care of those that were in need. Now, what kind of animals were they supposed to offer up? The best of the best. Animals without defect or blemish. So let's say you go to the meat market. You're going to have gyros tonight, and you need lamb meat. And you go in, and you see two little lambs baaing away, baa, baa, and one's jumping around, and it's super healthy, and then there's one that's got a gimp to it. It's kind of, you know, and you look at its eyes, and they're glazed over, and they're blind. Which of those two do you think is going to be more expensive? The one that's happy and jumping around, or the gimpy one? Well, the healthy one, right? The healthy one's going to be more expensive. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, the Israelites started to lose sight of why they were bringing their best sheep and goats and cattle to have them sacrificed. They had done it so often that they just started to go through the motions, and their heart wasn't in it anymore. They were no longer thankful for God's provisions. They actually were resentful in many ways, and that they had to keep making these sacrifices. Sure, it helped the Levites because they couldn't make their own food, and sure, it helped those people in need. But why did they need the best of the best? Meat is meat, whether it's come from a healthy animal or a not-so-healthy animal. You see, what some of them started to realize is that, you know, when I give the best of the best to the Lord, I'm losing out on money. And so what some of them were doing were offloading their lame and their blind and their broken animals during these sacrifices so that they could make more money off of the better animals. And this is the epitome of what we like to call nowadays junk for Jesus. Okay? It was the leftovers. It was the things that were used up that no longer served a purpose for these individuals. And this attitude rightfully angered God. God is our great King. His name is to be honored and praised. He deserves our best. And in the final book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, God calls out the Israelites for their hypocrisy, for their lackadaisical, shallow attitudes. And he says, would you take these kinds of animals and offer them up to your governor if he were to come over to your house? You just think about this in modern day. Let's say you've invited a well-known politician, someone you voted for, so you like them, okay? So they're at your house. Would you have them sit down and say, you know, let me go to the fridge. I'll get you something real quick. You take three-day-old leftovers, microwave them, and then serve them on styrofoam plates. Would you do that? Even for a politician you don't like, would you do that? No. No, you'd pull out the fine china. You'd get out the silverware. There's actual silverware, right? You get the good stuff out, and you'd do like a surf and turf, a 3-inch thick steak, some, you know, lobster, crab, something. You pull it all out, something super expensive. And God says, if you would do that for your governor, don't I deserve even more? Why aren't you doing this for me? I gave you those sheep. I gave you those goats. I gave you those cows in the first place. Why can't you honor me with the first fruits of what you have? And so we're going to get more into this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And this is how the Lord starts. He says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. So God's dealing with some obstinate people. He's not happy with them. They deserve to be destroyed for their bad attitudes. And yet he says, I don't what? Change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And who is God? God is slow to anger, He's overflowing with love, and he forgives those who have sinned against him. So our unchanging God is patiently coming to these people. He's calling the nation of Israel to repentance. And God our Father, he doesn't like to discipline. I don't think the majority of parents like to discipline their kids. It's a necessity, unfortunately. But he'd much rather give them good gifts. But when a child gets out of line, if you don't discipline them, they continue to get out of line. And it's not good for them. It's not good for anyone. And so God is calling them back. He's disciplining them. He's calling them out. And this is what he says as a good heavenly father. He says, "Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you?" Read this with me. "In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me." So the Lord is inviting these people, his children, to come back into this relationship with him. He's calling them to be in a reconciled relationship. In order to do that, he says, you have to stop robbing me. And how are they robbing him? In tithes and offerings. Now, the big question always is, what's the difference between a tithe and an offering? As I just got done explaining, the tithe is the 10th percent. Okay? It's 10% of what somebody earns. And so in the Old Testament, they were mandated to give 10% to help with the church, with the ministry, with the priests. And then the offerings were anything above and beyond that. That they would give to bless someone else. So there was the mandatory 10% and then the offerings that went above and beyond. So the people were robbing God either by not giving offerings at all, they just didn't give anything, or they give a portion of the 10%, but not the full 10%, or they were giving the junk stuff, the junk for Jesus, the leftovers. And see, anytime I read an account like this, it makes me angry. Do you get mad when you hear something like this? What a bunch of jerks. God gave them everything. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And yet these people are treating King Jesus, the Lord God, like garbage. And then every time I think like that, the Holy Spirit interrupts me and says, Dan, you better check yourself. Because here's the thing. When you and I read the scriptures, our job is not to stand in judgment over the ancients. It's to read scripture and to look into the perfect mirror of the law and ask ourselves, have I sinned in this way? And when I read this, when I was studying this, I had to ask myself, have I ever acted like the Israelites? Have I ever robbed God? Have I ever been stingy by not giving him the best, but giving him my leftovers? Have I ever intentionally avoided giving God my best because I wanted it for me? And the answer is, I have to admit, is yes. Again, our job when we read these stories from God's word, it's not to stand in judgment over anyone. It's to reflect on our own lives and to ask ourselves, how have I failed in this way? And the question you and I need to be asking right now is, how have we robbed God? Now, it's true that we're no longer under the Mosaic law. In fact, we're not even under the tithe. Did you know that? That was part of the old covenant. They had to give 10%, but that went away when Jesus came and fulfilled all these requirements. Now we are gifted by God to give as much as we desire. We read that earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Give whatever you desire in your heart to give. We can give more than 10% to kingdom work if we want to, because Jesus Christ has given us eternal treasures in heaven. This is where the freedom we have. And as New Testament believers, we don't have to give tithes and offerings. You know what we give? Offerings. Period. And in the New Testament, we are encouraged to give offerings according to our means. And I want to really clarify that. You are not to give offerings based off of what somebody else makes. Okay? Someone might put a $100 bill in today because they can afford it. You don't have to feel bad if you can't put in $100. Maybe you put in 10 because that's according to what you make. Okay? God has given us each different incomes. So according to your means, you get to give back to the Lord. Now, what's helped my wife and I become better stewards of God's gifts is using the percentage method. And what that means is we have decided to give a percentage of what God has blessed us with to be able to support the ministry of the church. Just like the Levites gave a tenth of the tenth, you know, the church pays my salary, but my wife and I, and she works, and we sit down, we look at what God has blessed us with, and then we look at a percentage, and we say, we want to give this back to the ministry of the church. And then we also are allowed to look at our other means and say, how can we use these as offerings to bless people that are in need? And so giving a percentage, whether it's 5%, 10%, 15%, whatever you've decided in your heart to do is practical. Because what happens is when your salary goes up, you can give more. If your salary goes down, you can give less. But it's all in conjunction with what you make. Because some people get into this conundrum where they give a certain dollar amount, and let's say their salary goes down, they're like, well, I can't give that much anymore, and so how much do they give? Zero. But if you use a percentage, it's all based on what God has blessed you with. And again, this is a heart thing. This is saying, all right, God, you've given this to me, whether it's a lot or a little, I want to be able to give back some to you. And again, think about giving an offering for the ministry in the sense of a fellowship offering. Just like the people who had the barbecue, they gave their lamb, their whatever animal, they got a portion back. Well, when you give an offering to support gospel ministry, it also benefits you directly. Any printed materials that we purchase here at the church, you get to use. Your offerings help keep these lights on and make sure that it's warm during the winter. Your offerings help to maintain our facilities. They assure that we can offer online resources to reach people that can't necessarily come here in person, or maybe they're a little leery of coming and like, well, I at least want to watch it online, right? They help us to support missionaries who can go to places where we can't go with the good news of Jesus Christ. Your offerings go to support our staff here at church so that we can dedicate our full time to your spiritual needs. Our offerings honor God. Only when we remember why we're giving them in the first place. Only when we remember that every good and perfect gift that we have been given is from Him. We honor Him when we decide in our hearts, when we look at what He's given us, and we do this regularly and say, all right, this is what God has gifted to me. But if we decide in our hearts to give Him nothing, then we do the opposite of honoring God. We rob Him. When we decide to give Him our leftovers or our spare change, we rob Him. When we give begrudgingly and without a proper attitude, when we give selfishly, we rob Him. God today is calling all of us, me included, to not rob God. To give generously back to Him, to give freely just as He has given everything freely to us. And if you're scared of that, if you're thinking right now, you know what, Dan? I don't have any to give. I'm stretched to the gills. And if I give to support the church, if I give to help somebody else who's in need, I'm going to be in need. And there's that tug of war. And God knows that we all have that tug of war. And so look at the final verses that we're going to look at there. Verse 10. God brings this promise. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Read this with me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. In all my years reading the Bible, I have come across many verses that say, do not test the Lord your God, right? Maybe you've read that before. This is the only spot that I have found in Scripture, right here in Malachi chapter 3, where the Lord says, test me in this. So that should turn on your ears. You're like, what? So God is saying, test me in this. These are very significant verses. He says, I want you to be generous. Give me your best, and I promise you that I will open up the floodgates of heaven, and I will pour out these blessings upon you. In fact, I will allow you to store it. I'll help you maintain it. It won't go to waste, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this is not some kind of spiritual lottery. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. I'm not promoting a prosperity gospel, and I'm not promising anyone, I am not Oprah Winfrey, that you're all leaving with cars today if you give a percentage, nothing like that. I will not promise you that you're going to get a mansion if you start to give a percentage of the earnings that you've been given. I'm just going to tell you what God says. Test him. Test him. Step out in faith. Do an inventory of what God has given you. And decide on what you would like to give back to him and see if he won't open up the floodgates. Because in my experience, every single time that I've given to God, he's given back to me. Maybe you've heard this before, and I believe it with all my heart. It is impossible to outgive God. It is impossible to outgive God. You cannot do it. The more you give with a thankful heart, the more he will give to you so that you can continue to give. And that's the cycle of grace. This is what we read earlier in 2 Corinthians 9. Take a look at this. So God blesses us, right? Everything we have is from God. So we give to God. We say, I'm going to give you an offering. God's grace abounds to us. He says, I'll give you more. We give more to God. What happens? He blesses us with even more. And then we give back to God, and then it just keeps going and going and going. Okay? God gives you your blessings not so that you can hoard it, not so that you can hide it in 20 different garages, so that you can give. He'll give back to you. You can give more and give more and give more and give more so that you can live in this grace of giving. It is a beautiful cycle, and I understand it's scary to step into it for the first time if you've never done it before. But once you do, you don't want to get off. It is amazing because you cannot outgive God. And so I want to challenge all of you today, before you go and watch World Cup soccer, before you jump on the TV to watch NFL football, I want you to think, literally think about, how is God blessing you? Financially. Your talents, your different abilities, what has God done for you? And if you're married, take your spouse out for lunch, okay? That's on you. I'm not going to pay for that. Take her out, take him out, go out to lunch, and have that honest conversation. Say, how has God blessed us? And don't just think about the physical, think about the spiritual. Think about the eternal blessings that you have waiting for you in heaven. You're not buying these things. They've already been given to you. They've been gifted to you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And now you get to be a participant in this cycle of giving. And maybe you're already giving. You already have your online giving set up. It comes out monthly. You don't even think about it anymore. I want you to think about it. Maybe your salary has gone up. Is that gift in accordance with what God has given you? Maybe your salary has gone down. Can you continue to afford what you're giving? Maybe you need to, and most pastors, they tell us not to tell you this in seminary, but if you need to stop giving as much as you've been giving because of life circumstances or your salary isn't as much, well then give according to what God has given you. That's okay. But as you give, do it with a cheerful heart. And take Malachi chapter 3 into consideration. Test the Lord. Step out in faith. And tell him, God, you told me. And sometimes you got to wait, okay? Sometimes you give that gift and you're like, okay. And maybe he doesn't. And you know what? It's not always a tit for tat. You give a certain amount, you're not necessarily going to get the same amount back. Maybe it's not even a monetary gift that God gives you, something else. Maybe it's a spiritual gift. But God will open the floodgates for you. And there's one last thing I want to ask you to do with me. Because at Faith Church, one of our main values is generosity. And I want to encourage you this Christmas season to test God with me. Okay? We've decided on who we want to give our Christmas blessing to this year. And this year it's going to go to New Day Pregnancy and Family Resource Center. They're affiliated with Christian Life Ministries. And they're in St. Paul. They help out young moms. Who are pregnant, who have just given birth. They help out their children. They help out the families. They give them these amazing resources. And so all throughout the month of December, I want you and me praying about this. How can we bless them in big ways? Last year, God blew me away. I was thinking, maybe we can give away $10,000. Maybe. You know how much we gave away? I've said it a million times. $16,000, okay? We get to give that away. But then you might be thinking, well, we have our own budget, Pastor. How are we going to afford this or that? We're fine, okay? But test God with me in this. Let's blow that number out of the water that we gave away last year. And say, God, everything you've given me is yours, so help me to give it back. And I know that you're going to give me more so I can give it back and then live in that cycle of grace. So I want to let you hear a little bit about this amazing ministry in downtown.
We have consciously decided to go Pregnancy and Family Resource Center. Here at Christian Life Ministries, we can work with the women before they give birth, through the time they give birth, all the way through their child being toddlers. And it's so much more than a pregnancy center, and that's why we call it a family resource center. There's a need for that family resource center. There's no question about that. Because those pregnancy centers that used to make that connection to the services aren't there anymore. They're concentrating on the medical side of things. Working with these clients and giving them a glimmer of hope after living so much in life crisis, they can walk through the door here and say, it feels different here. I feel you guys really care. That means a lot.
Y también a mí se me hace muy bonito venir aquí. Me gusta mucho escuchar la palabra como que me calma. Entonces ya luego como que lo encuentro como irreverente a todo. Y también siempre me apuro toda la semana para venir ese día y descansar.
We're very, very blessed with the donation that comes in. God blesses us every day. We're trying to be the best caretaker of God's means and God's donations. And then when the customer's coming, making that connection with the customers, making that connection with the community, and seeing when that customer comes through the door and God says to you, let's do something with this person. Let's give them hope. Be able to give those moms who come across here a smile. To be able to have a sale when they don't expect it. I believe they feel Jesus being with them. And that's what we really want them to feel.
If somebody were to ask, what is the one thing that I could pray for your ministry about, it would be that God continues to keep giving us the strength to be able to do the things that he wants us to do to minister his word, his love, and to be his hands and feet.
My dream would be that God would overflow our center like he overflowed Peter's nets, because the fish are there in abundance. I feel like this pregnancy center here in the Twin Cities has been the most incredible tool for outreach that churches have. Women that would never walk through our doors in one of our churches come through these doors here. What an opportunity for service and for ministry.
Pretty awesome. And I loved what she said, that you know, a lot of people are walking through their doors that wouldn't walk into some place like this, and yet they get to be Jesus to them and show them love and to their families. So we have sheets on the welcome table as you exit today. I encourage everyone to grab one of those. It tells you how you can start giving to this Christmas blessing offering. Again, thinking about what Christ has done for you and me first. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all the good gifts you have given to us. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior so that we can have eternal treasures in heaven. God, again, help us to grow in our ability to be content with what you've given us. Help us to be generous as well with all these gifts as an act of gratitude. We pray for New Day Ministries that you would allow us to be a blessing to them this Christmas season. Bless the workers there that are volunteering, those who are full-time. Bless the families that come through those doors so that they know that they are loved by an amazing God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.